Father, we give you all our glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you for this day in remembrance of the price that you paid. Thank you. Thank you. Let us never take your price in vain, but accept the price that we may walk according to your walk, predestined for each and every one, that we may cooperate with your will and your spirit, that we may come out of survival mode and come into surrender mode in every area of our life, totally trusting in you and not in our own flesh. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness in every area of our life where we have offended you. We repent for every sin, transgression, iniquity, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life, for becoming friends with this world that is coming to an end. For he who is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. But Lord, you said, come out from this world and touch nothing unclean, and then you will receive us. So Lord, we ask for the washing of your blood today upon each and every one. Quicken us by your Spirit as we welcome the Holy Spirit to take your rightful place, and we welcome you here today. Let the anointing and the power of your Spirit and the glory of your love break every yoke of bondage. Bondage of addiction, bondages of establishments and attachments of this world, bondages of fear, sickness, and disease. Lord, I send your word to each and every one in this room today, or maybe in this park today, that by the stripes of Jesus they be made whole, healed, delivered, sanctified, justified, and glorified in your image and likeness. And we promise to give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, everybody give somebody a hug. Tell them happy Resurrection Day. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Would you turn your Bibles to Ephesians 4? If you have been handed out a little sheet, if you didn't get a sheet, let somebody know. Bring you a little bit of understanding. Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7, would you all read it with me, please? It says, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Christ's gift, grace. Now, let me explain, first of all, what grace is. It's amazing how many people think grace is the ability to go out and sin and just be forgiven every time. That's not grace. Grace. Let me share. Grace, please get this. It's important. Grace is the plan of God that came into the world that you and I could follow his plan. It is a way of escape. Does everybody got it? Grace is the plan of God that came into the world so that we could escape the deception of Satan's kingdom, so we could escape the wrath of God, and so that we could escape hell. Grace does not give us a legal right to go out and sin. Somebody got it? Doesn't mean you won't make mistakes and you repent. But it doesn't give you a legal right to fornicate, because you'll go to hell. I'm not preaching today on hell. But it's amazing, the deception, because grace has been totally deceived in the area where people misinterpret it. Grace does not give us a legal right, are you listening, to go out and serve the devil. Because who you serve when you die is where you go. Either the angels come and get you or the demons do. And it must be understood. The Bible says that the works of the flesh are evident, and those who practice such works of the flesh will not inherit the kingdom of God. And if I didn't tell you that and you went to hell, your blood is on my hands. Does everybody get it? So the grace of God is the plan of God. That's why the Bible says you and I must work out our salvation. Is everybody okay? Good morning. Okay, let's go a little further since we got that part done. So it says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So grace is a gift of God, isn't it? Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, in other words, this could not be distributed until he ascended on high. When he ascended on high, then he led captivity captive. and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? In other words, he had to go to hell for me and you first. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. So in other words, he had to fill all these things by doing three important things: dying on the cross, going to hell and kicking butt on the devil, and rising from the dead, or you and I would have nothing. Now these are called feasts. And I want you to understand that the gift of God is the grace of God. Now, in Leviticus chapter 23, if you'll go there with me for a minute, because in your little sheet you'll see that you have feasts of the Lord, and only Jesus can fill the feast. But there's something that you and I must do, and that's cooperate with the feast. In Leviticus 23, is everybody there? Leviticus 23. Ready? Start your engines. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord. See, these feasts are known as the feasts of the Lord. They are not feasts of man. These are the feasts of the Lord. There are seven of them. The number seven means complete and perfect. So these feasts are a rehearsal of the Old Testament to which would come to the New Testament. Remember, in prophecy, everything must be spoken in before it can happen. That's why God had prophets, so they would speak those things in. In verse 2 it says, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. Now there are seven feasts of the Lord which are on your sheet, and I'm going to go over them briefly with you before we go forward. The first feast of the Lord, it says seven feasts of the Lord. There are spring feasts, there's a summer feast, and there's a fall feast. The first feast is called Passover. Passover. It is also a representation of Christ's death on the cross, the blood that was manifested, and repentance. It's called the way. And on the bottom of your sheet, you can see the tabernacle of God. And it's also a representation of Christ because he was the tabernacle. The second feast is called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The word leaven means evil. And in this, Christ had to go to hell, fight the evil for the keys. The third feast is called First Fruits, and that's what we are celebrating today. It's a feast that was fulfilled. It's known as Resurrection Day, the day that Christ rose from the dead. It's known as First Fruits. It's really not known as Easter. Easter is actually a pagan day. But, you know, hallelujah. We put up with things, you know? But as long as you know the truth and you practice the truth, you're free. The fourth feast, which is 50 days after Resurrection Day, it's a summer feast, and it's called Pentecost, meaning 50. And it is the beginning of the age of grace. This is where the church began, in this feast. And it's also baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then there's fall feasts. And these feasts are the ones that are going to be fulfilled next, because these first four feasts have been fulfilled already. And in these fall feasts, the first feast in the fall is called trumpets. That will be the end of the age of grace. In other words, there'll be no more mercy. You'll have to go through tribulation. It is a warning of the wrath of God to come, and it is a removal of the church. The next feast is called atonement. And that's when you and I return, who will have been taken or right with God and in heaven with the Lord. We will return with the saints in the battle of Armageddon and kick butt. And then the final feast will be the tabernacle, and that's where Christ sets up the temple on the earth, and we reign here for 1,000 years. So I want you to understand that these seven feasts, number seven meaning complete and perfect, were established by the Lord to Moses in a memorial and a memory and a rehearsal. So we celebrate these feasts just like people celebrate Passover, and they call it Good Friday and all whatever. Believe me, it was a bad Friday for Jesus, but it was a good Friday for us. Hallelujah. So, but all of these things which man has created names for, these events, are actually called the feasts of the Lord. And only Jesus can fulfill them, but you and I must cooperate with them. in the area where you cannot enter salvation until you've repented, then you must accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. So these feasts are being fulfilled constantly, aren't they? Jesus came to fulfill them, but they're still going on. And they are a remembrance so that you and I can remember today we are celebrating actually the Feast of First Fruits, the day Jesus rose from the dead. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. Go to 1 John chapter 3. Make sure you don't throw that sheet out. You're going to need it. 1 John chapter 3, and verse 7. 1 John 3, verse 7. Hope you all brought your Bibles today. It's a good day, you know. You don't own one? We'll get you one. Hallelujah. Why? Because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You don't want to burn, right? So you'll either learn or burn. Freedom is learned. And you get burned by the devil. The devil will use you to burn somebody else, or you could eternally burn. And verse 7, little children, let no one deceive you. Hello. Who's the deceiver? The devil. He loves to deceive you. That's why people are destroyed. They go all kind, they got all their own theologies and their own beliefs, you know. I used to be that way. I used to believe that marijuana was made by God. So were coca leaves. So I figure I could use them. But, you know, he created cliffs too. Hello. And because he created cliffs, didn't mean I could jump off of them. See, but I was being destroyed. I was perishing for lack of knowledge. I was touching unclean things. And it was killing me and destroying me and keeping me in torment, not even knowing where I was because I didn't know the truth. I knew that there was a God out there somewhere. Didn't know who he was. But then I had a visitation. And after that, I knew who he was. Hallelujah. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the what? The devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of Man was what? Manifested. That he might destroy the works of the devil. So why was Jesus manifested? To destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Now, you know, it's important, you know, it doesn't mean that we won't make a mistake. But the Bible says those who intentionally sin, willfully sin, can expect a judgment. It's amazing in how many people I've talked with in my Christian life, and they tell me that I'll see them and say, how you doing? They'll let me know that they're believers and they're doing great, and then they introduce me to their girlfriend, and I say, hey, how you doing, whatever, and I'll say, well, where do you live? Well, we live together. And she's a good Christian girl. Oh, nice. A good Christian girl that fornicates. Not. That's not a good Christian girl. That girl don't know, she don't know the Lord, man. You know why? Because there's no fear of God. Where there is no fear of God, there is no relationship. So you can go to all the Bible studies and tell everybody how much you know Jesus. If you're willfully doing those things that offend the Lord, willfully doing those things, you don't know him. Because there's no fear of God. Only those who have a relationship with the Lord have the fear of God. And that is a reverence, not a fear, a terror, but a reverence to him. And that's what he's trying to do to his children now. He's trying. That's why judgment comes. So people begin to get reverenced unto the Lord. That's why there's a shaking going on. That's why things happen in this world, because God's getting everybody's attention. And let me tell you something. There's going to be a big attention getter in this country soon, where people are going to realize that their money can't buy their freedom, that their technology and their knowledge and all of the things, that the materialism isn't going to help. They'll have to call on to God, and hopefully they'll call on Jesus. So Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil and put his plan in action so his children would rescue his children. Everybody got it? So his children would rescue his children. Hallelujah. Go to Genesis. No, let's go to 1 Timothy 3 first. 1 Timothy 3. In verse 14, and Paul writes to Timothy. Everybody okay? Praise God. Today's a brand new day. You can start brand new over. Hallelujah. Doesn't mean you won't reap what you sowed. But the more you sow in the spirit, the more you won't reap. You can start out running some of the reaping due to you. In verse 14, these things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Everybody say, I'm of the church of the living God. I am a living member of the body of Christ. Amen. Which is the church of the living God, the pillar in the ground of truth. Of the what? Of the truth. And without controversy is the mystery of godliness. And that is, God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up to glory. That's called resurrection. Glory. Paul writes to Timothy, letting him know that we are the temple of the living God because he is alive. Remember, Jesus is alive. Buddha's dead. Muhammad's dead. And all the other whatevers are dead. They are dead, 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 and dead. They will not rise. They will never rise. Hello. Jesus is the only one who rose from the dead. Nobody else rose from the dead. And because he rose from the dead, he sent his spirit to me and you so that you and I could have eternal life. Because we will be raised just as he was raised. Hallelujah. Go to Genesis 3. Genesis chapter 3. Now, it had to begin somewhere. Jesus just couldn't raise, from the dead, Okay, that's it. No, it had to start somewhere. There was a purpose. Why did he have to go there? What was God portraying to do in this whole thing? And how did it originate? And in Genesis chapter 3, in verse 14. Now, we know that Adam and Eve sinned, right? They cooperated with the serpent, and they fell. And so, chastening was coming to Adam and Eve. But first, the Lord was judging the serpent. In verse 14, it says, so the Lord God said to the serpent, what? Come on, read it with me. Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head. Now that word bruise is crush. Ain't no bruising going on here. He shall crush your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam he says, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you are taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of the living. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin and clothed them. Now this is powerful, because in this, first of all, you got to understand what he just said. He said, listen, the seed, her seed, who's going to be Jesus, the Christ is going to come into the world. It's going to crush your head. But your seed is going to bruise his heel. And this would be the judgment that would come. Now, the Lord had this plan for an area of a way of escape. This is where his grace was going to come into effect. But there was a time and a season when this would begin. And it was prophesied by Isaiah that a child would be born into this world. And then the government would be upon his shoulders, and it would be an everlasting government. He'd be known as the Prince of Peace and Everlasting Father. So in this, before Adam and Eve could leave the garden, God had to do something specific to restore. Because Adam and Eve put fig leaves on their own body to cover their own sins, and that wasn't going to work. And for God to fulfill his promise that one would come, his seed would come into the world to crush the head of the serpent, he had to restore something, and that was life. So he had to restore it to Adam and Eve because they were going to die. Now, they were going to physically die, but for them to be restored in his promises to be fruitful and multiply, he had to do something. He had to kill an animal. He had to take the blood of an animal, and he took the skins and he covered Adam and Eve so that things would be restored. So God covered Adam and Eve. But it's prophecy, that's kind of a prophecy of what was to come, because God would have to manufacture his own blood at some time. Does everybody get it? God would have to manufacture his own blood at some time to cover all things. That's how it would start. Leviticus 17. Leviticus 17 and verse 11. Leviticus 17 and verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Say it again. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to what? Make atonement. Atonement means covering. And that's what the Lord did in the garden with Adam and Eve. God Almighty himself killed an animal and covered Adam and Eve with it. I've given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Does everybody get it? So at some time for God to make atonement for everyone, he would have to manufacture his own blood into this realm. And that's how it begins. Go to John 1. Life for life. John chapter 1. So we're not out here chasing the Easter bunnies, you know. They give no life. Although you might need to eat one if it mattered life, you know, but. Life for life. And the Gospel of John in chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was what? God. And the Word was God. All things were made through him. Oh, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. So the word of God is God. Now go to verse 14. And it says the what? The word of God, who is God, became what? Flesh. Why did he become flesh? To manufacture his own blood. And the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace. Now, what's grace? It's the plan of escape. So he came with the fullness of grace and truth so that we could escape the deception of the devil's tactics, right? The wrath of God and hell. So everybody got it? So God was manufacturing his own blood here, and his name was called Jesus. Why? So he could take all sins away from... See, this blood that was manufactured by God would take all the sins away of past, present, and future. This blood is omnipresent. So everybody got it. So it wasn't just a present time where you take an animal and sacrifice it to cover for the day or for the nations or for a year. But this blood had to be manufactured by God Almighty, so that this blood would cover and remove all sin from all man, from past, present, and future. So you and I would never have to account for that sin as long as we cooperated with the blood. And that is the cross, known as repentance, known as the Feast of Passover. Go to John chapter 2, in verse 13. Would you read it with me? Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them out all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. Now, this Jesus is not this wimpy Jesus that I hear people preaching about. It's ridiculous. Oh, he's all love. Yes, he's love. But he don't take no garbage either, let me tell you. He's not a wimp. Hello. My Jesus is not a wimp. He casts out devils. He does it. Raises the dead. Hallelujah. So he goes in the temple and cleans it out. It's prophecy of what he was going to do with me and you. Clean this temple out. But you see, it's during Passover. Representation of the cross and the blood. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. So the Jews in answer said to him, what sign do you show us since you do these things? And Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up. Then the Jews said, it has taken us over 46 years to build this temple and you're going to raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. In other words, Jesus is known as the temple of God. Go to John 14. And Jesus says in verse 6, I am the what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except for through me. Ooh, glory. Now, I want you to understand something. It's important because he was naming the three chambers of the tabernacle of God. In other words, he was saying, I am the tabernacle. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the hallway to eternity. And if you look in the bottom of your sheet, you'll see the tabernacle. Now, this also represents the three feasts. The Feast of Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of First Fruits. Jesus had to fulfill those feasts, and he's saying, I'm going to fulfill these three feasts in 3 days. Matthew 27, in verse 46. And you guys thought we were going to talk about Easter? We are. It's Resurrection Day. But we want to know how it started, right? What was the purpose of it? I mean, we know there's more than just, eternal life and so forth, but there's more. God had originally manufactured his own blood. And I think sometimes we lose sight of the power of the blood of Christ. That's why devils hate God's blood. That's why it's one of our weapons, the blood of the Lamb. In Matthew 27, in verse 46, and it was the ninth hour, and Jesus cried out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why? Because he took on all mankind's sin, and he became the serpent on the cross. And anyone who looked upon the serpent would be healed, according to Moses' law in the Old Testament. Some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, this man is crying out for Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, let him alone. Nice. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yield up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split. So now the veil in the temple, remember, the temple that he said would be destroyed and he would raise it 3 days. Of course, they were looking carnally and naturally. The natural temple that was there in Jerusalem, the veil to the most holy place was ripped. And it says, and the graves were opened. Oh, glory. And many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. So these graves were open. Many of the saints were seen. And I'm sharing with you, these are the saints who believed during the time of Jesus' ministry that died. And coming out of the graves, when? After his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Now, that would have been awesome. I mean, that would have been awesome. You know, everybody saw the quake, heard the quakes and all this stuff, and all of a sudden, these people started showing up. Man, there's Grandma, you know? What's up? There's my brother. There's my sister. One that died and one that was born dead and all this other stuff. You know, all of these people showing up that received, you know, these are individuals that received Jesus while his ministry was going on the earth, who rose from the dead. This was after the resurrection. These were the first fruits. John 20 and verse 11. John 20, verse 11. Now Jesus raises from the dead. And verse 11 says, but Mary stood outside the tomb weeping, and she wept. She stooped down and looked into the tomb. Jesus was gone. Now this is Mary Magdalene, the prostitute. Hello. You know, yesterday we were talking in our meeting, and the Lord was really revealing to us in how he started the throne of David. The throne of David was built by outcasts, prostitutes, liars, addicts, fornicators. That's how the throne of David was built. And they got changed. They turned around and became submissive. And God's government is still being built, hello, by everyone that's been an outcast and rebellious in every way, to be changed and to be a part of his body. It's not stopped yet. Hallelujah. So you didn't have to, you know, like, do something to become a part of this. You just had to repent, accept the blood, accept Jesus, and continue to walk with him and submit and be obedient to him. In verse 12, and it says, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the other feet, end of the foot, where body of Jesus had laid. And they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they had taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She supposed, seeing him to be the gardener, said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him. In other words, she was blaming the gardener for stealing Jesus. And I will take him away. And Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Now, I want you to understand something, that he was ascending to the Father to bring the blood. See, because they could not go to heaven until the blood was brought to heaven. So God had to become flesh to manufacture his own blood, to wipe away the sins of all mankind, so that he could bring it to heaven and make a way for all man to enter heaven. So everybody got it. So Jesus ascended to heaven and then he returned. In Acts chapter 1, this is the resurrection, that he ascended. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, in the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them. He what? He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So that was a command from God, and it's a part of fulfilling another feast called Pentecost. So Jesus rose from the dead that he could send his Spirit to his children, that they could walk according to his will and not our own. And in Acts 1:9 it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That's why he rose. and go to Acts 2 and 32. Would you read it with me? And this Jesus God had raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured this out, which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent. Why? Fulfilling Passover. Repent. Hallelujah. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises to you and to your children, to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Psalm 68. So Jesus said, I am the way, truth, and life. The way is the cross. The truth is that he descended and took the keys of death, hell, and the grave away from Satan. And that he ascended, that he may send his spirit to each and every one of us, so that you and I would have the spirit of Christ with his ethics, his character, and power. In Psalm 68 and verse 17, would you read it? The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of thousands. The Lord is among them as in Sinai in the holy place. You have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. The God of our salvation. Our God is the God of salvation. And to God the Lord belong what? Escapes from death. But God will wound the head of his enemies. The hairy scalp of the one who still goes on in his transgressions. Revelation chapter 1. In verse 12. Revelation 1 and verse 12. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw the seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, and as white as snow, and his eyes like the flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forever. Amen. And I have the what? Keys of Hades and of death. Glory to God. And I'm going to close it. 1 Corinthians 15. Resurrection. And the Bible says that you and I will be raised in his image and likeness. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God, the Father. Oh, yeah. When he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he's put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who puts all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Amen. Happy resurrection. Happy first fruits. First fruits. That's what it's about. Fulfillment of the feast of first fruits. Now, the next feast that's going to be fulfilled is called the Feast of Trumpets. And I encourage you, if you're out of line, get in line. It will be the removal of the body of Christ, and it'll begin the wrath of God on earth. So I encourage you, if you're not right, get right. Amen. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you, Master. We thank you that you are the way, truth, and life, and the price that you have paid. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for the stripes of Jesus that has healed us. We thank you for the seal of the Holy Spirit and the empowerment that we could say no to temptation, that we could kick butt on the devil, and that we could declare your truth to your other children that don't know you yet. Lord, we thank you. And I ask, Father, that the seed will grow and bear fruit for your glory in each and every one, and that we'll never forget the price you paid for this day, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.